Current State on 90.5 WKAR. Today we continue our look at the use of economic incentive programs here in Michigan. Last week we discussed the cautionary tale of Ypsilanti's experience with General Motors that resulted in the state beefing up its laws to help better protect Michigan communities when corporate deals go bad. We also spoke with a University of Michigan professor who warned of lax state oversight of tax increment financing, which is a popular method cities use to offer economic incentives to retain businesses and to attract new ones. Today we look at how economic incentives are used in the Lansing area. There is fierce competition out there among cities and communities, not just in Michigan, but across the country, to attract new businesses that will bring jobs and economic growth. This competition often gives companies the upper hand when asking for tax abatements and other incentives from local taxpayers. But just how much should Lansing give up in tax revenue for, say, 1,000 new jobs? And once that deal is made, how are the numbers tracked to see if indeed those new jobs have materialized? And what are the consequences if they don't? Here to help us understand how incentive programs are used in the Lansing area is Carl Dorshimer. Carl's been working in economic development here in the area for more than 20 years. He's the Director of Economic Development for the Lansing Economic Area Partnership, or LEAP. And prior to that, Carl was President and CEO of the Lansing Economic Development Corporation. Great to have you on Current State. Thanks for joining us, Carl.
Good morning. Glad to be here.
There has been this skepticism and criticism for some time now over the way cities use tax incentive programs to keep companies from relocating and to attract new ones. Critics will refer to it as corporate welfare. One recent study came out just this summer by a George Washington University professor that looked at tax incentives and concluded that they did not have any measurable positive impact on job creation. Now, that was in Kansas only, but the findings are being looked at more broadly. What do you make of this larger landscape involving incentives and payoffs?
Well, first of all, the question, why incentives? And the answer is because they're necessary. And what incentives do for the local community in our local Lansing region is they help us compete with other regions and other states. They also, they're part of the public-private partnership, which, you know, has evolved over the last, say, 20 years, where we look at economic development as a vital tool to grow your community and to provide jobs. So, for instance, you ask, you know, what does the community get with the use of incentives? Well, they get jobs. They get new taxes. They get income. And they get a host of spinoff benefits. And then what does the company get? Well, the company gets lower costs. It helps them be a lot more efficient, helps them to thrive, to grow, and then be successful, which leads to additional growth. So, you know, we see it as a public-private partnership.
Is it unreasonable that we need to do a better job tracking incentive programs and the pledges, the promises made by corporations? Or do you feel there's too much criticism out there, and with municipal finance being the complex animal that it is, are these criticisms oversimplified or exaggerated?
I don't think there's too much criticism, because without a doubt the companies and developers who are incentive, they need to be held accountable. They're given an incentive for a specific type of performance, whether that be job creation, retention, investment, redevelopment of building. And so locally here, we've used what are called development agreement. A development agreement says, in return for this incentive, you pledge to do certain things. Typically, that's judged in terms of investment, private investment, job creation, and retention. And you have to do it within a certain period of time. Typically, it's 2 years. And then we go back and audit those. And if they reach those goals, great, project's a success. If they fall short, then the companies ask, well, why did you fall short? And the local body of government ultimately approves these incentives. And if they've fallen short, that local unit may revoke those incentives because it's an agreement, it's a contract.
It seems like there are a lot of the projected benefits, X number of jobs, Y tax dollars added to the city coffers. Some of the benefits that you pointed out are based on certain projections. How accurate from your experience do these projections tend to be?
Well, we at LEAP, we have a lot of experience, 20 years, hundreds of projects. So I believe we've become very good at projecting those. But also, by the use of a development agreement, you're asking the company to also agree to a number. And then in terms of cost-benefit analysis, we do that internally. We say, okay, X number of jobs, X amount of income. Is there an income tax? Like, for instance, in the city of Lansing, that's a benefit. The certain amount of investment they make in their property is going to then increase the market value. That increases the tax value, which then provides more property taxes. So despite the fact that they may have a tax break, for instance, a 50% tax break, you still get 50% new taxes. So, for instance, the General Motors tax abatement that's currently been applied for with the city of Lansing, you know, they're saving $4 million in taxes, but they're also paying $4 million in new taxes. Plus, it keeps them strong and growing in our region.
LEAP's Carl Dorschimer is our guest here today on Current State. We're talking about incentives for corporations here in the Lansing area and in general. Do you feel, Carl, these development agreements are generally effective? Do you feel like they're stringent enough? Do you feel like the mechanism in place should work?
It has worked.
Okay.
What's
a typical timeline for a development
agreement?
Usually about
2 years.
Okay.
2 years, because typically a project, if it's a construction project, it takes about a year and a half, 2 years. And so then we go back and audit those, ask the company or the developer to prove that they did what they said they were going to do on the development agreement. We also keep spreadsheets and information on all of our past projects. So at any given time, we can go back and look. And then because we're in constant touch with a lot of these companies, continue to expand, continue to come back. So we're in touch with them and we know what's going on. So it's really a long-term partnership. It really, the public private partnership has worked very well.
And ultimately, are you saying it falls to the city council to assess whether or not the terms of a development agreement has been met?
No, that's not their job. Their job is to make a decision, first of all, to approve the incentive. And our job is to lay it out for them. Here's the costs. Here's the benefits. Here's why we recommend approval. And we do a good job of estimating what the benefits are going to be in future taxes, jobs. We tend not to justify the approval based on spinoff benefits, but we mention them because we know they're important.
Mm-hmm.
And then if it's approved by council or the local body of government, if it's a township government, then you know they enter into the contract. The incentive then is approved. Ultimately, on most of them, the state has to stamp approval on it because it goes through their review process. So then when over time, say 2 years, it's in the contract when the review is, then we, as LEAP, do the review. We do the audit, essentially. And then we report the results to the city administration, who then reports them to council. And then the language says that, you know, we make a recommendation whether to revoke or not, but council can make that decision. And it's a may. It's not, there has to be some leeway because things happen. For instance, a company may lose a contract. The economy may crash. So you have to have some flexibility in that development agreement, too.
Can you give us an example of a development agreement that you went back on and said no, this can't be renegotiated, this can't be re-upped, this agreement?
As far as, I mean, it was revoked.
It was, yeah. They simply
we have
did not
revoked
meet,
those. I mean, I don't want
terms.
To name names at this point, but yes, certainly we have done that. And typically, it's because a project has not done. You know, it wasn't done at all. Typically, financing falls through. They lose a contract. There's some event that occurred that prevented them from doing anything, and in that case it's quite obvious they didn't perform.
Is how much tension is there generally over that decision to not
usually it, that type of a decision where the project was not done is quite easy. You didn't do it.
And how often does that happen though?
Very often. I would say it's a very small percentage of the projects, because typically by the time we get through the approval, before we even bring it to the local government body for approval, we have vetted this opportunity.
You feel like it's a good prospect,
right,
before you even go down
we
this road?
We wouldn't be bringing it forward if it wasn't a good project.
Mm. Are there companies that tend to be a better fit for the Lansing area than others? Is there a pattern to the kind of company that is more likely to succeed here?
Yes, there is. For instance, insurance companies, manufacturing is really on the rebound right now. And so, you know, healthcare, each community has their certain competitive advantages, and as a result, will attract that type of business.
Which ones? I mean, again, could you point to a kind of industry that tends not to do so well in Lansing? Is there a pattern to that?
Well, I can't think of one, but typically those are the ones that don't come or are not interested. You know, but the challenge is there are some we have to educate that aren't looking at the area, and we educate them. So we do have an attraction effort at LEAP to make people aware of what a great community this is and what we have to offer and all the ingredients. And then, you know, sell the region to them essentially. And then once they do that, they typically pick a location or a community, and then we work with them. And if incentives are necessary and if they qualify, then we work through that process too.
Carl, how intense is the competition among municipalities for corporations to relocate?
It's more among regions, you know, like Grand Rapids region, Lansing region, Detroit. But then, you know, it's really certainly become world economy. So now you're looking at the Midwest, the South, the West, and even among countries now, because there's a lot of investors. For instance, China now is very active in investing in the United States. And they've been looking around, and they've been looking at the Lansing area, too, for investments.
There are what are called linkage programs, where corporations, in exchange for tax abatements, need to give something back. They need to make improvements to a water main, mm-hmm. or build a low-income daycare center, or any number of things. What do you make of that kind of approach?
I like that. That's all part of the public-private partnership. The
private, does that happen here in Lansing?
It does. Typically, it's like a sidewalk or helping to share the costs of running a water main or some type of public infrastructure.
How often are the corporations receptive to that kind of thing, or do they ever put up resistance? Or
well, they're receptive if it works economically, because you know they're doing their own interpretation. They are analyzing the numbers, crunching the numbers, and looking at their investment here. They're looking not only at the upfront investment, but then the ongoing yearly investment, and will they be profitable in the long run? And if they can take on that additional cost, and a lot of them want to be good corporate citizens too. They want to show the community that, you know, they care, so they will share those costs.
Do you ever put clawbacks into incentive deals?
We don't put clawbacks. Most of these incentives, once they're revoked, they're done. So, for instance, if there's two things. If you never built the project in the first place, you're not enjoying any benefit. For instance, if you get a tax break on a building but you don't build the building, then you've had no benefit, because it would have been on the new taxes. And secondly, if they did do the building, let's say, and then they created a couple hundred jobs, but then they lose a contract down the road, let's say 5 years down the road, and they go out of business. Well, for those 5 years, you know, we still have the building, we had the employment, so we feel that the benefit was worth it at that time. But if everything goes away and they move off site, well then, yes, it makes sense to revoke it. But we've also found what's interesting is by having that incentive in place, it helps attract a new company to that location, because quite often you can transfer the old incentive to the new company.
Do we have enough leverage as a community? Do you feel like LEAP is exercising, and the city is exercising, enough leverage over corporations to make this an equitable arrangement?
I think so. I mean, it's a case by case basis. Obviously, it's you know, dealing with General Motors and dealing with a small, you know, 20 or 30 employee company. There's a big difference, and then there's a difference among industries too.
What would you like to see change here? You've been at this a long time. What, if anything, would you like to see change regarding economic incentive programs?
Well, we always want to have more tools in our toolbox, more ways that we can help share the costs and benefits with developers and with businesses. So, and we work quite closely with the state. And I think, for instance, the Brownfield program has been a great success here locally. And we'd like to see that continue, and we'd like to see, you know, we have our ideas on how to improve that program. And, you know, I think that's the way to work at these things.
Carl Dorshimer is the Director of Economic Development at LEAP, the Lansing Economic Area Partnership. Carl, thanks for joining us.
You're welcome.